And the problem is, your grandfather's church is not the same as your church you're in right now, especially if you're a young person. Okay? Between the ages of, like, 15 to 30, this church you're in right now is not the church your grandfather went to. I can tell you that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to visit a question. I'm going to pose you a question, and I want to know what your thoughts and responses are, because I think this is something that a lot of people immediately assume is automatically better, and that is religious relationships. That could be Christian, it could be even Jewish, Islamic, Hindu, Buddhism. Now, I'm going to be straight up, and I'm going to tell you, I am not super knowledgeable about relationships when it comes to the traditions of Hinduism or Buddhism. I know a decent amount about Islam, about Judaism, and about Christianity. So when it comes to religious relationships, we're going to mainly focus more on the Abrahamic religions. Not because the other ones don't matter, just I know more about it. And it's a little more mainstream, and the conversations tend to be a little more interesting. So with that in mind, I think it's a very interesting question. Because a lot of us, we look at statistics, we assume that, oh, because people go to church, or because they go to synagogue, or because they go to the mosque, things are better. Well, a lot of when people think Islam, they think radical Islam, they think of stuff in the Middle East and whatnot, which, you know, is totally fine. I don't blame you for doing that. Most people do. However, when we look at the West, when we look at the more mainstream people, we're not talking about the zealots, we're not talking about the people who are very extreme with their worldviews. We're going to really discuss, are religious relationships actually better, superior, more successful, rather, than the alternatives? I think this is a very pivotal question because a lot of people, we have the same desires, right? We as men, we have the same thing. We have the same anatomy. We want the same things. We overall, we're very simple people. Not simple as in stupid, but simple as in we're easy to please. We have natural desires. We want to have families. We want to be respected. We want to build. We want to have families. We want to have a community. We want to feel accepted, have a purpose, have value that's in us, and we give to other people. We want all of these things. Question today, though, is really around relationships, because they're extremely important, and the most important, I'd argue, decision that you make in your life as a man. Because if I hate this idea that, oh, you just chose the wrong one, if you get divorced, or you end up in a sexless marriage, or if you end up staying for the kids, or whatever it is, I hate the fact that people make it seem like you just chose wrong, as if people are just out here getting married knowing they're marrying the wrong person. Nobody does that. Nobody gets married to someone says, I'm gonna be a statistic. No, nobody does that. Everybody marries someone thinking that they're the right person. And in that spirit, we're going to start getting into the clips for today's show. But before I play the clip, the first one that is, I want to ask you to please share your thoughts below, because these types of conversations are important to have, not only between you and me, but between other men in the space who have, for example, I've never been married. So I can share marriage from an academic standpoint. I could share anecdotal. I could show the statistic, but I can't show the personal experience. I can show what other people I know have done. I can share that aspect. But when it comes down to a lot of men who have been through a situation, I would love for you to sound off, if this resonates with you at all during today's show. Or even if you have something you want to add that you think I should have added, or you want to discuss something, please, I'd love for you to have your voice be heard. Meantime, let's see what this guy has to say. This is already off to an interesting start.
I just saw one of the most disturbing things on the internet, and I want you to see this clip. And then I want you to tell me in the comments how many things you found absolutely batshit crazy about it. By the way, this is not satire. These people are for real, and they want this enshrined into American law.
Okay, I want to pause right away. I don't know what she's about to say, but this is going to be juicy. This is going to be juicy. Let's see what she got to say. Let's listen up.
To young women, unironically, they need to find a man that's very misogynistic. If you at all want to have a guy that's going to, like, make you follow his frame, and you need to find a strong Christian man that's going to put you in your place, or else you're going to dominate the relationship. And when a woman dominates the relationship, it's destined for failure, because I see even how I was different, like in my previous relationship. I was dominating and I was such a bitch, like such a Jezebel. And, you know, I wasn't always like a good wife or like this great, like a, or even Christian. I used to be atheist, but he has completely transformed who I am and how I act because he's such a strong Christian man and he doesn't let me get by on things. He always will nitpick everything because he's literally training me how to be a good Christian wife. You need to be trained.
Wow.
Women are bitches and they need to be trained. So that's my advice. Find a man that will train you.
I mean, does anybody find anything wrong with what you said? I personally don't. Look, you can hate all you want. I'm not saying you should sit here and try to control people because that's just a waste of your time. What I am saying is, I don't find anything that what she said to be all that crazy. I mean, let's play a little game I like to call Turn the Tables. Let's pretend like that's a man talking about how his girl changed his mind and he became a feminist. Do you think people would be like, oh my God, this is crazy and horrible and we gotta call the police? We gotta get everybody crazy. No. The only people who'd be talking about it are men in this space right here, where you're currently at right now. We're the only guys who would talk about this. Versus now, apparently, I'm sure that clip's a little older, but let's look at this comment section, dude. Oh my goodness. Look at this. Woman saying that she's exhausted by this. We have a woman saying, find a man who will train you. Lord have mercy on my husband if you tried that. Oh, that sounds like a healthy marriage. Homeboy will probably end up on the channel not long from now. I welcome him if he's in the chat right now. Let's see. I'd rather be single from a woman. Oh, there you go. In other words, I'd rather keep looking for Chad. Let's see what else we got here. We got kinking. Okay. He completely changed who I am. This is absolutely, she's not safe with him. Oh, I see. So let's say a man says that, oh, I met this dream girl and she changed me, man, and changed my whole outlook. Do you think that there'd be men saying that, oh, he's not safe with her, he's not safe, or even women saying it? Of course you wouldn't. But because she's a woman, apparently, oh, she's not safe. You see how sexism is cool when they do it, but if we say something that can be even construed in that direction, we're evil and terrible, and we should have our microphones taken away from us. You see how that works? Let's see what else is on this comment section. I love how she talks for him, such a contradiction. Oh, but I thought it was offensive if a man talked for you. I thought that was mansplaining. What happened to that? So we have womansplaining now, I guess. Oh, a Christian woman pastor is in the chat. What does she say? I am a Christian pastor. We have a beautiful home. My husband is 28 years old. My husband of 28 years, apologies, tried to put his foot down yesterday and we both laughed. Oh, in other words, you're confirming my suspicion about female pastors where they're not, they can't exist because it's kind of, it doesn't work. How can you be the pastor and be the spiritual leader when he's supposed to be the head of the household? It doesn't work, right? So in other words, ma'am, you are confirming my suspicion about female pastors. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, you have now heard that I was correct. I have been confirmed to be right. Another woman. I was such a Jezebel, unironically. Wow, this is sad. In other words, she's telling on herself and other women, and the women are not happy about it. Okay, next. Let's see. Everything their grandmothers fight against. Oh, we got another feminist in here. Great. What's with all these women who say that, pretend like they're Christians, and then they say this stuff? Look, this is, gentlemen, you want to know why I'm going to tell you that the whole religious relationship thing really isn't what you think it is? They're not superior because they're just kind of a different shade of the same thing that you're used to. Let me explain something to you. The religion that you, even, I don't care if you don't, you're the kind of person that's like, oh, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with God. No, it's a religion. Okay? Look, if you want to go into spiritualism, I'm here for it, but you don't. You don't want to talk about spiritualism, because if you did, then we could have a different conversation entirely. But most people, they're pretty lukewarm, basic ham and egger type, basic normies. And the problem is, Your grandfather's church is not the same as your church you're in right now, especially if you're a young person. Okay? Between the ages of, like, 15 to 30, this church you're in right now is not the church your grandfather went to. I can tell you that right now. Because back in those days, and even more before that, people didn't take this kind of garbage. They said, "What? Get out of here. You don't, no, you listen to me." That's what they used to do in the church. They didn't say, "Oh yeah, man, like, we want to be tolerant and accepting and inclusive." No, they didn't say any of that. They said, "Here's the way it is. You don't like it. The door's over there. Deal with it. Repent if you want to repent, or get out if you want to get out." Obviously, they were willing to help people who actually wanted to be there, but they didn't kowtow to everybody's feelings. They didn't say, "Oh, you don't feel good? Oh, let me fix that for you." Because that's when we dive into the feelings conversation. You know what's... I've said this before on the show, and I know a lot of people might get offended by this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it needs to be said. Karl Marx, the godfather of communism, along with his buddy Friedrich Engels, said the following. They described religion as an opium of the masses, a painkiller, in other words, a form of medication to treat the pain in one's life to help get through it. I could see why he would say that, especially in the modern church as compared to the church of 150 years ago. When you look at the fact that a lot of people use religion as a band-aid or a social club instead of an actual place to learn about scripture and theology and philosophy and rules of conduct by which your life should be lived, I could see why he would say that. You ever met people in church or on an online forum or anywhere else where all they talk about is feelings and how, "I feel God working. I feel close to God." Not, "Hey guys, this is what the law says. This is what we should do. This is what the prophet said. This is what..." Nothing. How many times has that happened to you? Because this transition into the feelings part of it is very dangerous. No, I'm not saying it should be eliminated completely, because that's not possible. It's like the yin-yang symbol. There's one side and there's the other side. There's the logic and the law, and then there's the feelings and the fluctuating moods that we have. And when you focus too much on the feelings aspect, you lose the law aspect, which was supposed to enforce the society, whether it was enshrined in actual law or not. It was meant to keep people's worst antics in check and to encourage good, virtuous behavior. It was meant to punish bad behavior and reward good behavior in plain English. Today, we don't have that. Today, we have do whatever the hell you want, and if you don't like what someone's saying, block them, ignore them, go somewhere else, move somewhere else, and people can just ignore accountability, ignore the consequences, and could just go along, or they can start a flame war on Twitter, or they can just be upset and go on a rant and stuff like that. And you might say that fits my description. I'm not mad. It's the fact that I care. If I didn't care, if I was happy with the church, if I was happy with relationships, I wouldn't be doing this show. This channel would not exist. But it's only because I see the problems, and a lot of other men who also follow this show and other shows like this on the internet, they see the problems and they want to offer solutions. But people don't want solutions. They want you to fix the problem while giving up nothing. They want you to see success with no sacrifice. They want to keep everything they have and gain everything they ever wanted. And you can't have that. That's why I only think there are two solutions to the problem, and I've named them before. But I'll name them again in case you missed it. Number one, we either go back to the traditionalism that woman talked about, which is how it's outlined in the law, how things worked in the old world, which patriarchy, in case you didn't know, was not meant to oppress women. It was actually meant to protect them and to keep men in check. Oh, you probably didn't know that because you've been so brainwashed to believe the opposite, when in fact, it was meant to keep men in check from other men's worst antics. And it was meant to keep women and children safe, and the women kept the women in check and the children in check by extension. That's how that worked, and it's worked for thousands, if not millions, of years, depending on what you believe and how old or young the Earth is, and I really don't care about that. To me, it's not important, okay? You can go anywhere from Darwin to the day-age theory. I do not care. This is the problem, though. People either, they don't want that, but they also don't want the full meat market of just basically what we have now But legalizing everything, like, for example, they do in the Netherlands. They don't want to do that, though. They'd rather just have this weird in-between where it's becoming mainstream, it's still kind of part of the underworld, but nobody wants to discuss it. And then here's the reason why we have this conversation, is because in response to conversations like that, most men will probably sound like this. I hope this man makes good points, but he seems like the kind of guy. I have not seen this clip, but I only checked to see if there was a really annoying, stupid music on it. I would love to see this guy right here make some good points while holding everybody accountable, but I doubt that's going to happen. Let's continue. Let's see what he has to say.
It says in the Bible that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Right? And it also says that God will favor the individual that has found a wife.
Oh,
that's so beautiful to me. And I, you know, after some of the years of me growing and developing, I've realized how much impact a woman really has on a man. Right? Obviously, you choose what that impact is going to be. A man is called to be the leader of the household. Okay?
See, I got to pause it. I have to pause it. Gentlemen, let's have this conversation, okay? You know, we're told by both men and women alike, society, the church, whatever, that men are supposed to lead, right? And naturally, we as men, we have the desire to be dominant. We have the desire to lead. Well, if I'm supposed to lead, what are you supposed to do as a woman? Logical answer would be follow, right? But then they don't want to say that because then that sounds bad. See, that's part of the programming that I've talked about on the show. When it comes down to it, every woman, I don't care if she's born in the most rural part of Alabama or in San Francisco, California, or New York City in Manhattan, in the Bronx, I don't care where, they have the pseudo-feminist ideology in them. Now, whether they choose to use that or not, it's kind of like a disease that stays dormant in your body, where it comes out during, like, when you're stressed or when you're angry or whatever, like that. And the issues I have, and a lot of other men, as a matter of fact, have, is we want to believe that there's just good women and bad women. There's no, like the people are not dynamic human beings who have a spectrum that they, even from a day's start to day's end, their moods fluctuate and change and their circumstances change with it and everything else. People, depending on where you meet them, depending on how you know them and how long and everything else, people are both good, bad, evil, righteous, and everything in between. That's how dynamic human beings work. To simplify that is doing you a disservice. So when guys like this talk about, oh, to find a wife is a good thing, do you understand that back in the day when this was actually written, the dynamics between men and women were vastly different? So different, in fact, that women were dependent on men for survival, and men could literally do whatever they wanted to their wives, basically, and get away with it. Oh, I'm not saying that we should return to that per se. I'm saying that because that context is important. Back in the day, to get a wife, you had to have property. You had to have assets. You had to have stuff going for you. You couldn't just pull up in a car. You couldn't just have a one-bedroom apartment. You couldn't just have these things. You had to have land. You had to have promise. You had to have stuff going for you. You might say, Austin, why is this even important? It's important because they're taking out a very important piece of context here. Women could not leave men back in the day. They couldn't. Now, they do it all the time. Look at the divorce rates. They do it all the time. So when you talk about this as if the man and wife, the husband and wife dynamic has not changed at all, you're doing everybody, including yourself, a big disservice. Let's continue.
The way you steward that relationship as a man is really going to determine what you get from that woman and how she's going to nurture you and how she's going to support your dreams and
See, sir, are you not aware that most men actively try to do this? The problem is their wife leaves them right before their peak earning potential. I've showed these stats before. If you think I'm just pulling these out of the air, you're mistaken. I've showed this on the show so many times. I've done hundreds of episodes of the show. I've shown this so many times. So if you don't believe me, go ahead and pull them up for yourself. but the average marriage lasts about 7 to 10 years. Okay? And so if people are getting married about the age of 30 on average today, that means they're getting divorced around age 35 to 40, usually. And the man's peak earning potential is usually between the ages of 40 to 60. You see how a divorce would set a guy back a little bit financially, would put him in a tough spot? Now, again, I can't believe I even have to say this, but not every marriage will end in a divorce. But you know what's funny about the divorce rate, my friends? And men who are in marriages like what I'm about to describe, they will tell you what I'm about to tell you right now. The divorce rate is just legal divorces. They're not talking about the ones that maybe were just separated. They're not talking about the ones that didn't end in divorce but almost did. The sexless marriages. They're not talking about those. See, those are the ones that are silent, that are not discussed. They're the ones that should be discussed, but they're not. The ones that are toxic, the ones that are not on good footing, the ones that are staying for the kids. See, these are the tough ones that too many people, they don't even bring up at all. And then you're deluded into thinking that even if the divorce rate is high, like 70%, you think that the 30% that's not, they're all happy and they have a great relationship. The answer is no, they don't. They don't. Some might, but most don't. And so when he's talking like this, he's making it seem like this is a slam dunk and something you should expect when this is not the case. Most men would be happy to have this, but they don't have it. And they wish they could, but they don't. And they can't find it. Why do you think the Passport Bro movement exists? Why do you think MGTOW exists? Why do you think the SSBW whatever exists? They exist because men can't find what this dude is describing, making this seem like every single guy has access to this, which they don't. They don't. And this is the problem. Even if you're in church, again, the divorce rate does not adjust for, oh, I'm in church, so I'm immune. No. That's not what it says. Let's continue.
Aspirations and love you and care for you and be tender to you, right? That's where that balance comes into play, where the man is basically like a, just like a territory taker, right? He's got like a lot of masculine energy, but that woman is such a provider in her own way, a nurturer, a caregiver, a lover, that she balances him out in such a beautiful way.
He's describing a fantasy. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you he's describing the norm. He is not. He is describing a pipe dream that doesn't exist, if it ever existed. Look, he's describing a very, very small number of cases. And even amongst those cases, that is not free. You're making it seem like you should expect this. No. This is not an expectation. This is an active sacrifice that you work for. And even then, it could still fail at any moment in time, 5, 10 years from now. See, this is the problem. You set the bar so high when people actually look at the numbers. And the numbers don't adjust. See, you can look at the ones explicitly for religious institutions like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. You can look at those. Those are still high enough. Those are still high enough. And those are just illegal divorces, much less what we described already. Sexless marriages, staying with the kids, sleeping in different bedrooms, being unhappy, having a dry marriage, having an uncomfortable situation. These are all parts that nobody discusses outside of a very small minority of individuals. And the problem is, when you talk about this, you do not get the righteous amount of... I'm going to stop. I'm going to explode and I'm going to get really angry, and I don't want that to take away from this message, okay? The point being, before I go crazy and yell and scream, we need to understand this is not the norm. This is not promised to you. This is a pipe dream he is describing. And men in this comment section, they will probably tell you exactly what I'm saying right now. Let's continue.
That actually enables him to produce more in the marketplace, to bring home more food for the kids on the table. And having a good wife that you steward in the right way is so important.
See, I'm sorry. I can't do it. He is describing the way things should work. But the problem is, when we talk about should, would, and could, it leaves out what really happens, the reality. When the reality hits you, it's not as pretty as what he's describing, not as grand as what he is making it seem like. Ideally, what he's describing happens, absolutely. Problem is, for a lot of people, they don't get this. A lot of men want this, they work for it, they sacrifice, they do everything, and they still can't get that. And speaking of what he's talking about, marriage, let's go into the biblical grounds for divorce. Y'all ready for this one? This should be interesting. Let's see what he has to say.
How do I know God has released me from my marriage? Controversial, but Dr. Clark likes controversial. Here's my answer. First, you need to have a biblical reason to divorce.
Not in today's society, you don't. This is why, for example, one of my favorite content creators, Coach Greg Adams, shout out to him. He runs a great show. He talks about how there's no God in marriage. Well, where's God in divorce? No one cites God in divorce court. Where is what he's describing in divorce court? I don't hear it.
That is stating the obvious, but I'm stating it. Many people don't. Adultery. That's a biblical reason for divorce. Abandonment by a non-Christian spouse. No question. Reason for divorce. Chronic, never going to stop abuse.
Oh, in other words, that's become anything that I don't like. See, that right there, that last one. How many times have you heard that happen to you, gentlemen? How many times have you heard, oh, my last boyfriend, he was an abuser. He was mean. He was messed up. How long were you with him? Oh, like 3 years.
What?
You see how that doesn't make sense? And if you think I'm cherry picking, you're mistaken. You don't believe me. Go ahead and ask people, man. Look it up on the internet. Ask people. I'm not making this up. But my friends, see, this is the issue. This is why I'm asking if they're superior or not, because I don't think that they are. I think they're just a different shade of the same color. A smaller microcosm of the overall chamber pot that we're living in when it comes to this relationship dating marketplace. It's only a different shade. You know how many women, I'll take it anecdotal for a second. You know how many women I know who are so-called Christian girls who have been all too eager to shuck my pants off and want to have sex with me? You might not believe me. You can feel free to call me a liar. Go ahead. Doesn't change the fact of reality. You know how many men I know who have slept with these women and it wasn't really them pushing on it? These women are no different. They just raise their hands and pray on Sunday. They're not actors. Some of them might be different or choose to be that way, or maybe they're just hiding it better. That's usually what it comes down to. They're usually just better at hiding it. They virtue signal so much that you don't even look at it. My friends, we need to up our game and we need to stop falling for the same rhetoric without the same realities being present. Because it's too many people do this and they think that, oh, I'm safe because I go to church. I'm safe because I go to Bible study. Do a background check on this woman. Look at the past. Because the past is a good indicator of the future. There's an old saying that says that men care about a woman's past and a woman cares about a man's future. These don't change when you enter a church, synagogue, or a mosque, or a temple. These don't change. They stay the same. But you fall under the illusion that you think it's different. It's not. My friends, please share your thoughts, your comments below about what you think. You think I'm wrong? I'd love to hear. You think I'm right? Go ahead and share that. Share your own experience. Share your story. I'd love to hear it. Other men on this channel would probably love to know they're not alone. My friends, I'll leave you with one other thing. I would encourage you to decide where you want to go with this type of information. I know it's easy to get discouraged and get down. At the end of the day, you need to decide. Do you want to go more of a biblical bachelor route and say, I don't want to get married? I want to do my own thing and I want to just go on my own way? Or do you want to say, hey, I want to get married. I won't close the door on it, but maybe I'll be a passport bro, or maybe I'll figure something out. You have to decide what you want to do, because it's very easy to sit on this information and get depressed about it. I'm not telling you to get depressed. I'm just telling you to get a reality check and then understand what you're dealing with, so then you can decide what you want to do, what it is you want, because that is what matters. Once you decide where you are, you can then decide what you want. It's like going into a new town and you want Jack in the Box. They don't have Jack in the Box. So it's like, well, there's no point in wanting it because now I can't have it. You need to understand what you have access to, what is available, and then make your choice so that you can get what you want or the closest thing to it. My friends, please take care of yourselves. And again, I'd love to hear your story. Share your comments below. If you like the video, you know what to do. Take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.